Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have to tell you, I'm a little humbled today. Kevin set the bar a little high. NASA called. They're wondering what the blip is out around Pluto. They want to know if he can come out and pick it up. But I've got to be honest with you, I feel like a switch flipped inside of me as I heard him speak. Today's topic was going to be on decision making. Bob's nervous right now. But after hearing Kevin speak, it changed a little bit. It's now, how do we make decisions in the middle of the storm? Remember, he said it's a nightmare out there. You guys know it. You're living it. And I have to confess that I did feel a little bit intimidated, completely intimidated. But yesterday, as I was praying about this message, I got a little whisper. I talked to Bob about it this morning. God said, I won't let you do it alone. Because if you do, it won't matter to anything or to anybody. And that Kevin didn't set the bar. I did. And all he's trying to do is to reach out to it the best that he can. That's all I'm asking you to do. I can do that, Lord. I can be me. So maybe, just maybe, there's a model decision maker that we can look to in the Word. Just maybe, right? Just maybe there's a model decision maker that we can focus on. The Word tells me that I have a high priest who sympathizes in my weakness. And he was tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he was without sin. So maybe, just maybe, there's a plan. If he was tempted, you might say to yourself, he made good decisions. He faced bigger storms than you and I had ever thought about. Maybe there's a plan. My question today is, do we have a plan on how we're going to make decisions in the middle of the storm? Have we set beside ourselves a plan on what we're going to do when the crisis of life comes in and starts to choke our air out? Have we made a plan? What are we going to do? Quick little story about plans. Two guys walk into a bank. And they sit down and they ask to speak to the chief financial officer, chief senior loan officer. Sit down with the senior loan officer and they ask, we're here to ask for $10 million. The loan officer turns around to him and says, well, sounds like you've got a project you're trying to get off the ground. He says, yeah, absolutely. Well, what's the name of your project? Boeing. Boeing. Well, what is it that you guys want to do? Well, we want to build airplanes. Well, if you're going to call an airplane Boeing, you better have one good plan. Yeah, I know. No one walks into a hangar to build an airplane without a plan. They don't walk in and go, well, let's see what we can make today. Let's see if we can get it off the ground. Let's see if it'll fly. Let's take some aluminum, let's put it together, and let's see what we make. They don't build airplanes that way. Matter of fact, they don't build anything of worth that way. Matter of fact, the cheap stuff's not made that way. The stuff we buy at Walmart's made with a plan. And guess what? So were you. You were made with a plan. So let's look to the plan maker. And let's see what kind of plan he's got. Let's look at the plan that God had for Jesus, our model. How was he able to make sound decisions in the middle of a crisis? Remember, he was tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he was without sin. Now in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked, is it possible? Can we change the plan? Is there a plan B? This is a big cup. I'm not sure if this body can handle it. Son, the plan hasn't changed. It's still all about Easter morning. Why did he ask? That's what I asked. He knew the plan. It was written inside of it. I believe that if you could take a drop of Jesus' blood, you could find it, and you could give it to a CSI guy, a forensics guy, and he could look at the DNA, and he could look at all the strands put together, I think you'd see billions and billions of crosses. Because that was the model. That was his plan. That's what he was made for. He was made for the cross. There was absolutely no doubt who he was and what he was here to do. Absolutely no doubt. But this is a crucial point of how we make good decisions in the middle of the nightmare. We'll come back to the Garden of Gethsemane. But let's back up to another little decision that Jesus made. He's in the boat with the disciples. You guys know the story. He calms the storm. Okay? But the thing that amazes me is that he's asleep during this process. He's asleep. Now I'm going to ask you, in Mark's account it says that it was a furious squall. Anybody here ever been in a boat during a furious squall? Could you sleep? I don't like boats, just to be honest with you. I don't like getting in them. They make me nervous. A lot of it has to do with the furious squall. But somehow he was able to sleep. And Marcus said he was laying on a cushion in the stern of the boat. How was he able to sleep? You ever ask yourself that? How is he possible that he could actually sleep? There's waves crashing over the front of the boat. All the disciples thought they were going to die. Lord, help us, help us, we're going to die. It was a grave situation for the disciples. But for the Master, you see, he had a plan. And the plan was on the other side. The plan was once he got out of the boat. So he already knew he was getting out of the boat. He knew he was going to go to the demon-possessed man. He knew he was going to heal somebody that day. There was absolutely no question in his mind. There was a plan. I'll just stick to the plan. I really don't care. Come on, guys, quiet. Be still. I'm sticking to the plan. So why this day is he so fixed on the plan? We have to back up again. He was so fixed on the plan because he'd been through the desert. He was led by the Spirit. That was part of the plan. In the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Fasting. The tempter shows up. You ever had the tempter show up? Showed up to me this morning. You're worthless. You can't go there. These guys ain't going to listen to you. You're a piece of scum. If these guys knew your story, they'd get up and walk out. He's been here. Shut up. The tempter shows up. Come on, Jesus. Use your power outside the plan. Feed your flesh. You're hungry. Come on. Make these stones turn into bread. Let's eat. Let's get the grub on. There's a plan. The tempter will meet us always at the most crucial points of opportunity. Always expect him to be there. How is this temptation handled by Jesus? What did he do? What decision does he make? It is written. That's why I started laughing, Paul, when you were praying. Man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There was a plan. Three times he was asked, tempted by the devil, to deviate from the plan. Let's get away from the plan. Let's do something that's about you. Let's make it about you. It's not about me. No, it is written. Get away from me, Satan. It is written. Worship the Lord your God. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Luke's text says that then Satan left for the opportune time. The Garden of Gethsemane. He came back. The nightmare was closing in. All that Jesus was made for was about to come true. Every word that was written about it, the plan was about to take place. It's the opportune time. Jesus was troubled. Everything was about to be fulfilled. I don't know about you guys, but there's a point in this story where I go, I know I'm not Jesus. Because a little bit later it says that, could I not call for my Father in heaven? Have 12 legions of angels show up. I mean, now, I'm just going to account of what it says. The Roman guard had 6,000 legions, 6,000 guys in a legion. So that's 72,000 angels. I'd want to see that happen. I'm sorry, but in the flesh, you show me that it's possible for 72,000 angels to show up. Sign me up. Let's see it. But what did Jesus say? How would the plan be fulfilled? How would all that is written come to pass if I fail? I have imagined it, and this is just in my words. This is kind of how I see things. Where'd this thing go? There it is. Papa, Daddy, God, you there? This is an awfully big cup you're asking me to drink. If it's possible, is there a plan B? Hello? Okay. Yet not as I will, but as you will. There was no plan B. Jesus' process of decision making was simple. Lay it out before the Father. Give it to Him. What do I do, Daddy? What do I do? He's the maker of the plan. He didn't waver. He didn't fail. Why? His Easter had already been written down. It was already there. It was already in the plan. It was who He is. It's not who He was. He's still alive. He is risen. It had all been written down. It is written. Satan will always try to trip you up at the most crucial point in the plan. Expect him to be there. Don't you think I cannot call upon the Father and get 12 legions of angels? It sounds familiar. It sounds just like the words that were spoken to him back in the 40 days in the desert. Do something outside the plan. Appease yourself. I don't believe there was any choosing for Jesus. I don't believe there was a choice. I believe that he was so connected to the Father that he knew exactly what was written. It had been given to him for the beginning of time. He was, remember, the Word that came and dwelled among us. He had the answer. He knew what it was. There was no choice. And I submit to you guys today, there is no choice. I want to read something for you. Deuteronomy 30. Start at 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you to this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For here it is. For the Lord is your life. Where's the choice? Life? You and your children can live. Death. Guys, I got to confess to you that there was a long time there that I tried mixing the two together. God, I can be right here in the center. I can stand in the middle. I can do some of the things that you asked me to do. But those things that are over there are too big. I don't want to drink from that cup. Like getting up here. I don't want to stand up here. I'd much rather be sitting out there where you guys are. It's much more comfortable for me. Where's the choice? Mac, where's the choice? Where's the choice? Life, death. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I know when I'm alive and I know when I'm dead. So how do I make good choices? How do I make good, godly choices? Lay it out before the Father. And every once in a while, I need to be encouraged. So we have a choice. We have a choice, Bob. You sure? Sometimes I get focused on the work, and I get focused on the presence, and I get focused on how do I look? And I get focused on, am I doing it right? And I get focused on, man, the enemy's tearing me a new one. And I get focused on everything but the choice. And I need a little encouragement. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Some of them? Two of them? 10 of them? 167 of them? Huh? How many? All? Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. He just placed it up there, nicey-nice, He nailed it. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He's whispering in my ear, but He's been defeated. Is that what it says? He's been defeated? Is that what it says? He's been defeated? What's the choice? I can follow Him and I can go and do what He asked me to do and it can be for me? And I can die? Guys, I don't know about you. I died once. I was here last year and I shared my testimony. It killed me. I came to the point of following myself far enough that it killed me. I'm not going to die again. It's not going to happen. Am I going to make poor choices? Yeah, probably. Today? Yeah, probably. But I don't have to listen to the whisper from the other side of the fence to tell me, you know, it's about you. Just make it about you. It's not about me. What did I do? I got nothing. Except for everything that He's given me and everything that He says I am. You know, this is going to sound absolutely crazy. When it came to me, I said, Brent, that's absolutely crazy. You can't talk that. You can't talk that. A couple of weeks ago, I'm sitting back and I hear the words, I have a dream. Those aren't my words. Those are Martin Luther King's words. And God said, no, they're not. Those were my words. That was His cross. How do I know that? Because He died for it. It was given to Him. He had a dream. God had a dream. God still has a dream. And I got a question today. Is it written? Down deep inside you, inside your DNA, what are you made of? Are you made of the things that God pre-written for you to do? Are you made for what you want to do? He says it's written. It's written. It is written. I have a feeling that down somewhere inside my DNA that there's something written about this life that I'm supposed to do. I think that's kind of the plan. And I think there's a plan for each and every one of us. And Kevin hit the nail on the head when he asked, what is huddle? What is it? If it stops right here in this room, what is it? It's nothing. It's about us. This is a great thing. This is a great ministry. It's beautiful. There's beautiful people in it. There's been a beautiful word in it every Wednesday that I come. But my question is what was I made for? What was the church made for? What was the body made for? What is written? So I ask myself, what am I supposed to do? God, what am I supposed to do? This is real simple. I have a dream. I have a dream that the body will stand up and be what the body was meant to be. So I start to ask myself, what's that got to do with decision making, God? Are you going to give me a nugget here? Well, who in this community is it most important to have good, godly decisions made by? Okay, I started thinking. Because where do you want to start? Go a block in either direction. We got the courthouse right over here. We got City Hall right over here. So what's the body here for? My question is, what Kevin said this week, what are we going to do? How are we going to act? Who are we going to be? You know, we could stop this talk right here and we could applaud and it'd be really nice and cheesy and it'll all be great. But what would happen if, what if, and this is what God hit me with, what if at the end of this, we got up, we walked across the street at the courthouse, we banded together, and we cried out to Abba Father, Lord, help them make good decisions. And then we left and we went across the street and we banded together and we wrapped ourselves around the city hall and we said, Lord, help them make good decisions. Hear the cries of your people, Lord. Hear the cries of your people. Help them make good decisions. Help our police officers, help our judges, help the people in this community make good, godly decisions. I'm not standing here telling you that we've got people that are making poor decisions. I'm saying, how much more help could we be as a community to stand with them, unite together with them as the body of Christ, and say, we want you to make good decisions because God wants you to make good decisions. Why? Because we're the light of the world. Kokomo, Indiana, guys, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And I didn't stop there. Because I thought to myself, that would be good. But what about the churches? What if one Sunday our church got up and we went around to another church and we banded hands together around that church and Lord, we asked, hear the cries of the people. Help this pastor lift their church out of where they are to where they're supposed to be. God, come down and anoint this place. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help our pastors. Help our elders. Help our deacons make good, godly decisions about the Word. Why? Because it is written. It is written. And what if the churches of Kokomo, Indiana all banded together as the body of Christ and they lifted one another up? What if every Sunday we looked out, what are those people doing? What are those people doing? What are the people from that church doing at that church? And they got it circled. They're praying. Why are they praying? Because it is written. Because it is written. And he didn't stop there because he said, I have a dream, Brent. What are you asking me to do about it? I have a dream. What if each one of these churches got up instead of having their Wednesday night program? There's nothing wrong with Wednesday night program, but I'm not talking down. I'm a part of a Wednesday night program. I lead a Bible study. But what if Wednesday night, one of the churches in this community went out to one of the schools in the community. And they surrounded the school and they said, God, help the principals, help the teachers, help the future leaders of our town, which are the kids in the school, to make good, godly decisions. Hear the cries of your people. What if every Wednesday night we got up and we went out and we prayed for our community? What would happen? What would happen? I don't know. I want to find out. I want to find out what would happen. Because God says, I have a dream. It's a plan. It's already been written down. I'm asking you as the body of Christ to stand up. Why? Because it is written. It is written. Do I have a choice? Yeah, Mac, I got a choice. I can sit home and watch TV. But what does that do for the kid that's going to school? As Kevin talked about, who's wrapped out on crack, who's got drugs in his locker, who's bringing a gun to school, who's got a knife in there. Why? Because he made decisions because he listened to the whisper from the other side of the fence. My heart cries for that kid. Why? Because I'm him. I made every poor decision that you could possibly make. My heart bleeds for him. I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and tell the kid, man, this is going to hurt. You're going to suffer. You're going to come to the point where you choose to die. That's what's going to happen from listening to the whisper from the other side of the fence, who doesn't carry any weight. Because he's already been defeated. Easter's coming. He got up. He got out of the tomb. The stone was already rolled away. I always question, why did Mary, when they went, why'd they even go? They couldn't get the stone out of the way, the two of the little ladies. Why were they even there? They were looking for life in the midst of death. It is written. He has risen. I'm going to ask you today to step way outside your comfort zone. Way, way, way outside your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you to do something that I've not heard of since I've been saved. I've not seen it. Why? I don't know. I'm going to ask you today, don't put your hands together. I'm going to ask you today to get up, and I'm going to ask you to walk across the street to the courthouse, and I'm going to ask you to surround it, and I'm going to ask you to ask the God of heaven who holds the plan of the universe to help us make good, godly decisions. And if you're not able to go, stay here and do it. But I'm going to ask you to get outside the boat. Why? Because there's a plan. It is written. So anybody who's willing to follow me, and I'm going to ask you, are you the men of Kokomo, Indiana? Are you the godly men that God asked the plan to work through today? Are you them? Are we them? Let's do it.